The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statman, with you on this Tuesday, 14th day of August 2018. And I have a little announcement that I said I was going to make yesterday. Pay close attention because this will not, this will not be repeated. That's the announcement, of course. There were 63 people, by the way, that took advantage of that front site. $25,000 premium membership, best they got, all services and instructors made available to you. The difference between plinking and, using a firearm in any, and I do repeat, any given circumstance. I'm only allowed to mention this one time, so listen closely. Those that are still interested in that front site membership, the $25,000 membership for $500, call the office today. 800-724-2719, extension 1. Don't dally. Don't wait. If you miss any part of the interview here with Christopher Bolin, it's in the archives. And you can go back and listen to the few minutes you might have missed by making that call to 800-724-2719. And that's all I can say. Announcement concluded. There's a Dealey Bob coming up here in San Antonio, and I'm looking forward to this one. The ship that won't sink, Phil Turney, Dave Gehary is going to be there. Also, Christopher Bolin, a little bit more about Chris here in a second. Richard Gage, that brought a lot of credibility to the issue of 9/11. He's the founder, architects, and engineers for 9/11 Truth, and there are hundreds of them. Hundreds. A lot of people out there stuck in a mortgage right now. There's been a lot that's gone on. Mickey Poe, I think it's pronounced Poeletta, of Mortgage Defense Systems. He will be there. Also, a guy I've known for a long time, Mark Anderson, Stop the Press's News. He's going to be talking about Global Cities Agenda. You know, they never talk about, but they quietly instill smart cities, smart growth, all that smart stuff that they're smart enough not to let you know about ahead of time until it's installed. And of course, I will be there wrapping up the presentations that are given down there in San Antonio. Now, here's the deal on this. This is the ship that won't sink. It's going to be Saturday, September 8th. That's next month. Very nice hotel down there. I've been on the inside of it. Hotel Contessa on the Riverwalk in San Antonio. One of the nicest places in Texas, folks. I mean, it really is. So at any rate, it's got about 800 or 1,000 hits to this. There are tickets available. Ron Avery, he did an outstanding job. This is going to be a top-notch presentation. He's dropped about 15 grand on this thing. The tickets are only $27, I think, and 50 cents to attend this event. Wow, $27.50. Doesn't even round it up for $28 or maybe $30. No, $27.50. There are 100 seats available. There are tickets remaining. Please give them a call. This is going to be one of these events that it's going to be a great atmosphere to be in. Nice location. One of the nicest here in Texas, folks. I'm not joking. And so go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. You can also get this streaming, by the way. It can be streamed during or post, but you got to sign up for it. But it's only $10 for the streaming presentation. And you can, well, display this for your friends, concerned people, of what's really going on. This is going to be Christopher Bolin. I got to tell you, I've seen guys give presentations, and I've seen presentations. A lot of them are by the numbers, the linear, okay, step A, B, C, D, okay, this is what happened, blah, blah, blah. Christopher does this, and it's such a good presentation. And I'm presentation, I don't have a phobia against them, folks. But I have a tendency just to listen for a few minutes, and then maybe somebody's there and wants to talk to me. When Christopher Bolin gives one of these presentations, he has my rapt attention. So he's very good. And it's on the subject of 9/11. Now, having said all that, I've got, and coming from Sweden, by the way, which is 7 hours ahead of us, so it's now 1:06 in the morning. Oh, excuse me. The atomic wall clock says it's now 1:07. Appreciate Christopher Bolin coming up on the program. Christopher, how are you?
Good. Thanks. Nice to be with you, John.
Well, it's been a while since Ron Avery's last presentation. How long ago was that down here in Austin?
Oh, it's probably been about a year.
It's been longer than that, hasn't it?
Well, he's had several. I think I was there about a year ago.
Okay. Well, I was at the same one, if you remember seeing me.
I do.
Okay, then that's the one. I've been trying to get in contact with you for the last year to come on and do an interview. Were you aware of that?
No. Ron put me in touch with you, said that you were trying to reach me. You probably just had the old phone number or something, and we missed a connection.
That might explain it.
Yeah.
I've got the right guy, but the wrong number. All right. Well, yeah. Let me bring you folks up to speed here. As I said, you know, I've seen 9/11 stuff, Chris, and some of it's pretty good. A lot of it's cut and paste stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not really an in-depth critical analysis bringing forth the salient fact. It's just, it's like a little paper doll. They just cut them out and paste them here, and then, oh, this is significant, so I'll paste that there. You have done a magnificent job solving 9/11, the deception that changed the world, and solving 9/11.
Well, thank you. The thing is, where my presentation is a little bit different as time goes on, is that I'm speaking less about the forensic evidence of 9/11 and more about what 9/11 has brought us. And it was used, 9/11 was done to trick us into the war. And we are now 17 years into this war, the longest war in U.S. history, longest foreign war, and the most expensive war in our history. And people have to understand that the war on terror and 9/11 are two operations of the same enterprise.
Which gave us also the excuse. I remember the former governor, Mr. Ridge from Pennsylvania, cashing in, going to work for private companies and pass, just really cashing in on security stuff. We had to have metal detectors in airports. Now they're considering schools. But this was the start of the real formation of the police state, was it not?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. 9/11 changed our country very fundamentally. Of course, all the security at airports and all that TSA and the whole security apparatus, that was imposed on us after 9/11. But it fundamentally changed the relationship between the citizen and the state. And that's something that is very disturbing. And, you know, people don't understand who did 9/11 and why it was done, then they accept all these changes. They accept all the wars. They accept all the security state because they think it's for our benefit, not understanding where the war came from.
Well, and this is what's been repeatedly pushed. There was a line out of the movie JFK, and it was talking to Deep Throat in Washington, D.C., and Deep Throat says basically things change fundamentally in this country after the Vietnam War. Everything seemed to be make-believe. And the important thing about the state is to present a threat to the people in order for them to move ahead with their agenda. I'm paraphrasing, of course. I wasn't an actor in it. I didn't memorize the lines, but that's basically what it said. And that was the impetus to get people that, well, they don't really doubt the government. You know, there's some stuff that they do that's a little snaky. And the media, you know, sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong. But there was not this watchful eye on government and media presenting this whole spun yarn about the Middle East and Saddam Hussein. I love what they tried to do to president of Syria.
Assad, yeah.
Yeah, we've got 1953, Mossadegh being moved out. Here was a guy that they were happy with. We've been meddling. You want to talk? This is not about meddling with elections. This is about meddling with seated governments, people that elected their leaders, and us coming in and saying, nope, that's not good enough. We're going to depose that guy, smash your country, rebuild it, kill a whole lot of people, and you're going to have the American way. McDonald's on one street corner and a XXX movie theater down the block. They don't want it. They didn't need it. We shouldn't have been there, and they lied to get us into it, Chris.
Yes, absolutely. And 9/11 was a false flag operation that was done to take us into this zeitgeist where we are today, where we're fighting wars. We've left half a dozen countries on the side of the road, dead. We've destroyed Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, and people, even people in the military, wonder what next. You know, is Iran the next victim on the table? And why? I mean, Americans really don't understand, why are we in these wars? Why are we occupying Syria, for example? You know, what's going on? And it's because, of course, the media won't tell the people the relationship, of course, between 9/11 and the war on terror. But they don't even tell the American people why we are in these places. What's the agenda? What's the operational strategy? That's what my book, The War on Terror, my little book that I came out with last year, The War on Terror, The Plot to Rule the Middle East, is all about. It's a very small, very thin book, easily read in a few hours. And in this book, I explain what the War on Terror really is all about. And what it's really all about is basically implementing a longstanding Israeli operational plan to break up the Arab states in the same way that Yugoslavia was broken up, what's been done to Libya, what's being done to Syria, Iraq, what have you, in order to make these Arab states weak and submissive to the domination of the Israeli state.
And do you have you heard? Now we've got a 15-plus year war, the most money we've ever dumped into anything. Mm-hmm. Going to war under the guise, and let me see if I can remember what the reason and excuse was for going into the Middle East in the first place. What was the excuse going into Iraq? Saddam Hussein was a bad guy. He threatened America.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Yes, and the ones that were sold to him, and those deals were brokered by our government, as long as Saddam Hussein might use those to go after Iran. But that evidently really didn't happen in any scale. Saddam Hussein, at one point in time, realized he was being set up, and so Saddam Hussein did what? He got rid of what the United States had sold him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So here we are. We knew that before we went in. Now we got yellow cake stories, and we've got all these horror. I mean, we just have to deal with this guy because he's the most dangerous guy in the world. Truth about it, Chris.
Well, in the very same way, they attacked Afghanistan. They said that it was, the 9/11 was done by Osama bin Laden and his 19 thugs, from hiding out in Afghanistan. So we bombed Afghanistan. We attacked Afghanistan. Or that they, you know, they tried to tell us that Mr. Assad, President Assad of Syria, had used chemical weapons on his people time and again. And on that reason, we had to go and they wanted Obama to bomb the Assad regime. But, you know, this is the thing. They use time after time, they use fear tactics mm-hmm. in order to get the American people afraid or to get them so incensed with the crime, the alleged crime, that they will allow the government to do criminal aggression against one of these countries. And it's happened time after time after time.
It's fascinating to me. We have this little thing, Israel and the Jews, the Holocaust, Adolf Hitler, the horrible things he did in the camps over there and gassing people and killing off the help, that was the labor camps over there. It wasn't designed to be, eradication camps. Mm-hmm. Toward the end of the war when things got interrupted, supply lines. There was nothing for the health of the prisoners, clothing, food, nothing. A lot of these guys, if you look at the bodies, they were all starved to death. Mm-hmm. And it's rather fascinating to watch Israel and the news media, Chris, in this country, covering up what I think the example or the word that I want to use is hypocrisy of what the Israelis are doing to Palestine, pushing them into areas that are literally, Chris, mm-hmm. The largest concentration camps on the face of the globe.
Exactly. Well put, you know, and then with the outrage of the last few months when they've been sniping, you know, overlooking this camp, the barrier of the camp, the fence, and shooting at medics and people that are trying to help these people, and young children, and in the media in the United States, the blame is always being put now. The villains are always being carefully chosen for us. Putin is a villain, or Assad is a villain. But when you have a blatant crime being committed by Israel in daylight, the media ignores it because it's not, you know, the right enemy. Israel does no wrong.
Well, and I watched with interest when the press, the American press and media, went after Muammar Ahmadinejad mm-hmm. and his infamous statement that Israel must be destroyed. No, mm-hmm. he was intentionally misquoted. What he had said mm-hmm. is Zionism has to be destroyed.
That's right. That's exactly right. His comments were always distorted. To make it, you know, to make it sound good, and they always say that the Iranians want to destroy and wipe Israel off the face of the map, but as you said, they want the curse of Zionism to be lifted from Palestine, and Zionism is a very un-American ideology, to put it shortly.
Well, whose wars are we fighting over there? I've seen the plans for Greater Israel. And their boundaries, forget what they've stolen from the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. People have not done their research. I mean, this stuff, Chris, is on the web. It's not been purged. If you go in 1948, right smack dab in the middle of Palestine, the land that Israel started, the Jews started Israel, very small in comparison to the landmass of the rest of the country, that has now been completely reversed. All that land has been taken over by the Israelis, and they are now in the postage-sized stamp internment camps, what used to be their own country. And as you pointed out, this stuff would not pass muster. If we had an honest media that were actually showing the videos that the IDF forces were taking when they were picking people off during these protests not too long ago, saying such things as, oh, I hit him in the leg, see his leg fly over his head? When the American people saw this, their attitude about Israel might be modified just a tad. Let's take this break. Christopher Bolian is my guest today. Very glad to have him here. Very knowledgeable guy. Forget the hype. Just give me the facts.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
That's my producer reminding me to behave myself today. We were talking with Christopher Bolin, and the book, The War on Terror, The Plot to Rule the Middle East, the research is beyond compare, folks. And something else that I wanted to mention here. Notice during this interview, if I ask the guest a question, it's very clean and concise, and he doesn't go on and on. His writing is the same way. Writers have this thing, well, I'm a writer, and this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to add a lot of background, a lot of color, a lot of unnecessary words. And, well, folks, the book, The War on Terror, The Plot to Rule the Middle East, as Christopher just said, is a relatively small book. It takes a couple hours to read. Why? Because it's very clean and concise. Forget all the extraneous stuff. Let's just get down to the facts. And, Christopher, I've always wanted to tell you that. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to tell you that because I appreciate your presentations, your live presentations, your writings, your articles. And by the way, on your book, the aforementioned here, I'm seeing a lot of the other people out there that contribute quite a bit, articles and books themselves. They've read your book. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons they've read your book is because it's not War and Peace, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing is that, you know, today people don't read as much as they used to read.
That's true.
They don't have the time. So it was very important in this book to make it almost like a pamphlet, like you know, Thomas Paine's Common Sense, partly also because of the urgency of the situation. The people need to understand this book is very small. It's, as I said, you know, easily read and easily passed on and shared to other people. And it's concise and easily understood, because this is a very complicated matter, this whole thing, the war on terror and 9/11. You know, I've written the Solving 9/11 books. They're like 360 pages each, two volumes. But in those books, I examine, you know, the Israeli role in 9/11. But this book, The War on Terror, puts it all into perspective why 9/11 was done. Why are we in the Middle East? Why are we fighting in Syria? Why have we been to Libya? Why did we overthrow Libya? Why have we done all this? And it's very important. You know, I'm speaking to you. You're in Round Rock, Texas, I believe.
Yep.
And this is Bible country. You know, we have a lot of people in Texas and across the United States who have this mistaken belief that they have to support the state of Israel because it's demanded by the Bible. And so these are what we call Christian Zionists, you know, and we have a lot of presidents that are like that, and a lot of politicians believe that. But they don't understand that they've been hoaxed, they've been tricked. And that's why the history of Israel is not taught in American universities. Because if it were taught, if an honest course on the history of Israel and Zionism were taught, people would understand that we've all been tricked. And that deception is their modus operandi.
Well, and you nailed it again. You're exactly right about the history of Israel, because if we go back, the Ergun and Stern gangs, the classic definition of terrorist, these are the people who were involved 1948 and moving forward.
Yes, yes. And the Menachem Begin, the founder of the Likud party, which is the party that runs Israel today, was asked if how it felt in 1974. He was asked by a British journalist, how does it feel to be the father of terrorism in the Middle East? And Menachem Begin laughed and said, in the Middle East, in all the world. So he took this mantle of being the father of terrorism in all the world on his shoulders. And that's the thing, is that, you know, the Lehi, the Stern gang you talked about, and Irgun, these were terrorists. These are people who blew up the King David Hotel, that massacred entire villages, that blew up the British embassy in Rome, that blew up the, you know, killed the British envoy in Palestine, and killed Volker Bernadotte, the United Nations envoy, again. You know, it's murder and terrorism is their method of operations. And when these people got elected into the top offices in Israel in 1977, they began applying terrorism again as their strategic tool. And that's exactly when the 9/11 plot and the war on terror plots were conceived and went into operation.
And I want to get – we've got a bottom of the hour break coming up, and I want to get into that. I found it rather fascinating. That the bad guys were called ISIS, you know. We got these ISIS terrorists operating in Syria, and well, we were supplying them, we were training them, we were giving them every advantage. And when I saw who actually named them ISIS, it wasn't really the United States that did it. It was actually Israel. The Israeli, what was the acronym for that? Do you remember, Chris?
Israeli Secret Intelligence Services.
Yes, thank you. And
ISIS.
There it is, right in front of your face. The arrogance, as you mentioned with Begin, is it terrorism here? No. Worldwide.
The whole thing is in your face. The whole thing is right in your face.
And they look at it as being a security exercise for their agenda, and when it's actually terrorism, it's exactly 180 degrees flip now. We've got people that are trying to spread the truth here in this country. Guess what we're being called? Terrorist. Anybody getting a clue here? Those who hate the truth?
It's a war of terrorism.
There you go.
Not a war on terrorism.
There you
go. War of terrorism.
All right, we'll take a 3-minute break, Chris. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I've got to take a little time, a little time to think things over. Between the lines.
Chris, what was your conclusion here? I've always wanted to ask you this about Osama bin Laden. Was the man dead of kidney failure?
Yeah, I think that he died early on in the shortly after the 9/11 war in Afghanistan began. I think so. I think that they pretended that he was still alive in order to, you know, keep the show going. It's very similar to what they did with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the man that they said is the mastermind of 9/11, the Al Qaeda mastermind. He was evidently killed in Pakistan 1 year after 9/11 on the same day, and then again the FBI and the U.S. government pretended that he was still alive, and that he's been held in Guantanamo ever since. In order to keep the show going, and yeah, I think that the, you know, from all indications, the Obama
the Sheikh, the Sheikh, not Osama bin Laden.
No, I mean, these are two. Well, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is the supposed mastermind,
right? And that's the one you spoke about that's in Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, he's okay. The guy. Well, no, he was killed. He was actually killed. The real Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was killed.
Okay.
1 year after 9/11, but then they brought us this heavyset guy with really hairy guy who doesn't look very bright at all, and they said, this is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And I contacted the professor who taught the real Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in North Carolina A&T University. And I asked him, have you ever seen this man before? And he said, I've never seen that face before in my life, referring to the man that we are told is the mastermind of 9/11. So the same thing with Osama bin Laden. He died of natural causes or was died in Tora Bora, whatever. But they, in order to keep the show going, they pretended that he was still alive. The videos that we saw of him, you know, after 9/11, there were several of them were obviously fake with a different actor playing the role. The turban was falling off. The wristwatch was on the wrong hand. He was left-handed instead of right-handed or vice versa. Yeah, so it's all been part of a show.
Very, very sloppy. And that strikes me as being odd because if you want to sell a story, you know, you got to get the props right. And you know, we have, I guess best described is we've got an arrogance factor here that they're in the driver's seat. It doesn't matter. We can put out whatever we want to. It's not going to be challenged, at least by the U.S. media and the pundits inside our own government. But hey, let's not let any of that get in the way. I wanted to ask you about Osama bin Laden. Now, a big deal was made out of going after these guys, and of course, they were killed. They were shot and killed. But then the people that ran that operation, they just all conveniently died in a helicopter.
Yes.
Now, Chris, without going too deep down the rabbit hole here, what is a better way to cover your cover story than to make the people responsible for the operation magically up and disappear? Now, we don't even know if any of those people are actually dead. There is a trick that the CIA uses all the time. Mm-hmm. Fake a death. And they're on the rolls. So they were killed in the line of duty or this, that, and the other. When actually they've been given new names, nice little bank account, name change, mm-hmm. location change. Is that what happened with the helicopter mishap?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's what happened with the helicopter mishap or not. But I know that's what they do. I mean, for example, in 1993, when the first bombing of the World Trade Center happened, the Colonel Salem, the Egyptian informant for the FBI, who was paid $1 million to testify against the blind sheikh and that motley crew, was after the trial succeeded and they put those radical Muslims in jail for life. He took the $1 million and went into that witness protection program you were talking about and has never been seen again. You know, but the thing is, John, about the USS Liberty, the attack on the USS Liberty, which will be the discussion in San Antonio on September 8th at the Ship That Won't Sink seminar, is very much like 9/11. And the arrogance you're talking about is an arrogance that comes from knowing that their crimes, the Israeli crime, even mass murder of the sailors and the personnel on the USS Liberty, and the mass murder of people on 9/11, they knew full well that the crime would not be investigated, would not be reported honestly, and that the U.S. government would give them everything that they want. This is the problem we face as Americans: that there is a parasite in our nation that has control over our government.
I would classify that as deep collusion, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Hey, I've got one of our own talk show hosts here, Steve Elkins, online with me. And Steve, how are you?
I'm good, good. Pleasure to talk to you, Chris. Hey, in your book, do you discuss the blueprint for the Middle East going into Iraq and Afghanistan with the Project for New American Century? Do you touch bases on that or not? Yes, I do.
The Project for the New American Century, they of course called for this expanded U.S. military presence in the Middle East and around the world. And the Yenon plan, which is the Israeli plan behind that, to basically for the United States to come in and destroy all of the large Arab states, starting with Iraq and Syria and ending with Iran. And, you know, this is a plan to redraw the map, to rule the Middle East, to, you know, have access to its minerals and wealth, and to make it so that it's all balkanized in small ethnic statelets like Yugoslavia. And that's what the, that's what we're doing. And so that when Americans, you know, scratch their heads and wonder, why are we occupying the eastern third of Syria from the Euphrates River to the border of Iraq and Turkey, the United States and its Kurdish allies are occupying it. And where does this go? Where do we go from here? What's the plan? And people don't understand. Why are we doing this? Well, if you understand the operational plan behind the war on terror, that it's an Israeli plan to conquer the Middle East by breaking up the large Arab states, then you will begin to make sense of what we're doing there. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense at all, which is why they don't talk about it in the media, I suppose.
Right, right. I agree. You know, I agree, John and I agree, that Osama bin Laden died very, very early in the war. And I think we had the credit for that. Madeleine Albright, who was the Secretary of State at the time, had actually kind of spat it off and said he had died from kidney failure, renal failure, you know, back in, I guess, somewhere 2001, 2002.
October of 2001.
Yeah, 2001. Yeah. So he had died, and she'd actually blown the whistle on that, but I never heard much more about that. But my question, the next question to you real quick here is, the SEAL team that went in and supposedly killed Osama bin Laden, how mysteriously they all died, at least most of them died. Is that mentioned in your book also?
No, I don't get into that, but it's very similar to the 12 people that were on a helicopter that went into Yugoslavia post 1995 with Bill Clinton on board, and they went into Kosovo. They went to the mine, the Trepča mine, the richest mine in Europe, which produces a lot of gold. The helicopter flew back out to the Adriatic Sea, and then within a year, all 12 of those guys were also killed in some sort of mishap. So it's as John said, this is like a method they use to either get rid of people or to make them disappear,
right,
so that they're not culpable for talking about.
Stephen, right. And Chris, who is the guy that they kept trotting out? It was a SEAL team member. You know who I'm referring to.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of name.
And they kept trotting him out, keeping that story alive. He had written a book. He gets the accolades. He gets the
Chris Kyle.
Thank you.
Yeah, and they killed him. Yeah, he's dead.
Chris Kyle is now dead.
Sniper. Oh, he's dead. Remember, he got killed on the firing range. Some lone gunman comes up and kills him at a firing range. I think they just took him out.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. Forgive my ignorance here. we're talking about the same guy.
We might not be. There is John. I think there is another guy you're talking about that has talked about it and is often, credited with being a member of the SEAL team.
Right.
And there is one or two that are still alive that, as you said, are like public relations men for this story.
You know, forgive me, gentlemen, but they say that you can't judge a book by its cover. I have a pretty good spidey sense. Okay, every time I saw that guy, I just looked in his eyes, and I thought, you know what? You're an overpaid oaf. You're there for a reason to continue the story, the cover story for all of this, that United States is under threat. See, these were real bad guys. Here's the guy that went after the bad guys. Everybody stand up and cheer. And how I saw this thing morph was that prior to, you know, us really getting hot and heavy into the Middle East, American people said, what? We're going after who now? No, stop it. There was a growing concern in this country and backlash against our policy, if you want to call it that, in the Middle East. And then I saw the media's shift gears. Well, they dropped, well, you support your troops, don't you? You may not support the war, but you support your troops. Well, who else is over there creating the war? It's the troops.
That's right.
To me, it's more than disgusting. I understand what they're doing. We've brought forth the facts. I mean, even Wesley Clark. I mean, if it wouldn't have been for that guy, I don't know what they've done to him. He's still upright and walking and talking. But this is the guy that got the list of the seven countries from Dick Cheney in the Pentagon. These are the seven countries that have to be done away with. And guess what? It's the exact countries. This was, and that admission of all places was made on Democracy Now.
Yes, yes. And he spoke at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco. He spoke about that several times when he was running for office. He was running for president at the time. Hmm. But it's interesting that Donald Trump, you know, not too long ago, criticized the high cost of the war on terror. He said that in April 28th, he said, we have spent $7 trillion, trillion with a T, $7 trillion in the Middle East. You know what we have for it? Nothing, nothing. So Donald Trump has lamented openly, publicly, this immense hemorrhaging of wealth, this outrageous, obscene expenditure of wealth, borrowed money, of course, mm-hmm. on a war that's gone nowhere. It's quicksand. It's futile, and yet he hasn't radically altered. He has slowly altered some, you know, the CIA's war in Syria, for example, but he hasn't stopped the war. And you know, this guy is such a deal maker and understanding the value of money. I would hope that he would very quickly shut down the war on terror. Otherwise, he makes no sense that he's complaining about it, but does nothing about it.
Well, and I last week or the week before, a caller called into the show and says, you know, what's everybody complaining about? Donald Trump is an executive. What is he? He's president of the United States. He's the head of the executive branch. He's a businessman. He's an executive.
That's right.
And, and I think that's missed on a lot of people. He always talks about the art of the deal. And to him, going into a deal, he understands that, well, both sides got to come out with something, so let's talk. But, you know, his take and his actions, Chris, about the Middle East and this ongoing, I don't know what else to call it, but butt-smooching, you know, mm-hmm. who does he have in his cabinet? Jared Kushner putting on a little yarmulke, taking a little trip over to Israel. It was reaffirming the tie with Israel. Now, if a president is going to do that, is he adopting Uncle Joe's, Stalin's tactics by keeping your friends close, but you keep your enemies a lot closer so you can keep an eye on them? It's a big mystery question, a big question about Donald Trump as far as these wars in the Middle East.
Yeah, and it's very concerning. What is the plan for Iran? You know that the when Trump, you know, pulled out of the Iran deal and reimposed sanctions, and now is threatening to impose sanctions on Iranian oil sales in November. It looks like they are tightening the screws on Iran in the same way that they did to Iraq before the war. You know. In 2003, with the sanctions and the you know, and where is that going to take us? You know, war with Iran. There needs to be a real examination and understanding of what the war policy really is, and it has to be stopped, and it has to be stopped by the American people. Well, because the government is not going to stop it.
Yeah, I've seen the agonizing and vacillation over here of Iran. I've seen Israel crossing the border, doing bombing raids inside of Iran, and then quickly backing out. They had a problem with this, and it's rather fascinating to watch the public spin, you know, the story or the yarn on this deal. Now it's, well, because the sanctions were placed in Afghanistan, that might push Afghanistan and Iran closer. And I'm looking at this, and I'm going, wait a minute. We talk about sanctions. We talk about penalizing countries because they're not acting the way we think that they should, or not doing what we're telling them to do. So therefore, we're going to place sanctions on them. Chris, am I missing something, or are sanctions realistically an act of war?
Absolutely. It's economic warfare. And the American position, the Trump administration position, like the previous administrations, with sanctions on Iran, is like a global dictatorship, because we're not only putting a U.S. sanctions on Iran, but we're demanding that everybody else also stop doing business with Iran. So we're trying to starve that country. Just, you know, we're applying sanctions on Russia, too. And it's almost schizophrenic, because one day you have Trump and Putin meeting in Helsinki, and a week later you have Trump putting sanctions on Russia. You know, it's like, wait, I thought you guys were getting along. I thought you were making progress. Now here you are hitting him on the backside of, you know, it doesn't make any sense. But that's what we have to understand, that there's a faction within the Trump administration that is pushing for war with Iran. And I think Mr. Trump himself doesn't want to wage war with Iran, but his underlings, the people, you know, like the Jared Kushners and people in his administration, Bolton, they want war with Iran. They're chomping at the bit.
Well, and, you know, I as I watch this unfold, what was the reason why Syria wasn't done in like other countries in the Middle East? Well, they had a little problem. They had Russian forces in there. And they had to tread carefully in Syria, but now they want Iran. But again, there's a business interest in Iran with Russia. So what to do with this complex problem? Because now we have some, we're not picking on countries that don't have any nuclear weapons.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people tell us about their experience with Xtendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Xtendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Xtendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Xtendivite.
Soon you will be dancing face to face with the limits of ambition and the scars of the marketplace. Welcome to the land of flame and fizz, where you will learn that packaging is all that.
All right, we're back. Steve Elkin slipped away. Thank you, Steve, for calling into the program. So, you know, when I start talking, Chris, about the plan for Greater Israel, it kind of went over everybody's heads because they were so enmeshed in the machinations, for lack of a better word, of who's doing what to whom and what is Syria saying and what are the Russians doing and what is Donald Trump doing. And there's all this narrative going on. And all the while, this is a, in my opinion, ill-conceived plan to the Israelis. This is this the Likuds over there, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, half the country of Israel wants these guys gone. Of course, you'll never hear that political turmoil being reported in this country because they pretty much control our media and our politicians. But, you know, they have plans. They had plans. And I'm assuming they're still in place because guess who's still in the Middle East? We are. But I saw the map for Greater Israel. They wanted, hell, they wanted half of Iraq all the way to Baghdad. You know, And this, once it's laid out like this, and you can, the average person, and here's what tickles me, they don't need us to come up and decipher for them, tell them what this means or that move. Is it strategic? Is this a false flag? Is this just derailing and obfuscating what the real plan is? But when you lay it out, the greater plan for Israel and their expansion of Israel, it all makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, it's interesting that the, you know, the greater Israel plan calls for basically creating the state of Israel between the Euphrates River in Iraq and Syria all the way to the Nile River in Egypt. And as I said earlier, this is the area that where the United States troops with the Kurds have taken the entire eastern part of Syria, which is on the other side of the river Euphrates. So it's like they're already like creating a boundary and breaking Syria up. And you know, last year in 2017, the summer of 2017, the United States with artillery pounded two cities along this Euphrates River or along this boundary area, Raqqa in Syria and Mosul, the second biggest city in Iraq, were pounded relentlessly until like half of the city was destroyed. Each city were completely destroyed. And this is destruction like we haven't seen since World War II, where a city will be pounded and besieged and hammered for days and weeks on end, driving the population out of the city. And these were mainly ethnic Arab cities. And the Arabs were basically being ethnically cleansed. So we're seeing the kind of cleansing, ethnic cleansing, the kind of devastation, destruction of urban areas, you know, to redraw the map. That's what they're trying to do.
All right. We've got to top the hour break. Can you spend a little bit more time with us on the other side of the break here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Because there are added benefits to those that just love to pile up bodies, and we haven't even talked about the body count yet. But there are other advantages to have a chaotic situation go to waste. No, we can't have that. We need to maximize all the money and all the bodies, and they are doing exactly that. We'll take the top of the hour break. If you've got a few questions you'd like to ask specifically of Christopher Bolin, 800-313-9443. We'll do a little bit more of this on the other side of this break. I think it's now, what, officially 2 o'clock in the morning over there in Sweden?
Mm-hmm. That's
okay.
Right.
All right. Folks, we'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.